Welcome to the CDH Conversations podcast, where we'll be speaking on the renewed efforts by the taxman to collect rental income tax. I am Joseph Masharia, a candidate attorney at CDH Kenya in the Corporate Commercial Department. Joining me today is Alex Kanyi, a partner at CDH Kenya in the Tax and Exchange Control Department, and Shem Otanga, a partner at CDH Kenya in the Technology, Media and Telecommunications Department. Welcome, Shem and Alex. On 18th October 2022, the KRA issued a notice to the public of its intent to undertake a data collection exercise on rental properties within Nairobi County and the Nairobi Metropolis. This exercise, which entails moving from house to house to collect information from tenants on their landlords, has elicited reactions from the public. Accordingly, the taxman's move raises a lot of questions for tenants, landlords, and the public at large. And some of the key questions include: which areas will be subject of KRA's data collection exercise? Has KRA conducted similar exercises before? What constitutes rental income tax and how is it paid? What are the key data protection issues to be considered while conducting the exercise? How can KRA enforce payment of RIT under the law? So with today's discussion, we intend to provide some clarity on the taxman's data collection exercise, its legal founding under current law, and the implications to taxpayers and KRA. So this brings me to my first question, which will be to you, Alex. So which areas does the taxman intend to start with in its rental income tax data collection exercise? And is this the first time KRA will be collecting such information?
Thank you, Joseph. The taxman intends to start with properties in Pangani, Ngara, Eastleigh, California, Kasarani, Mwiki, Njiru, Ruai, Upper Savannah, Embakasi, Mihango, Utawala, Lower Savannah, South B, South C, Langata, Kileleshwa, and Kilimani, among others. Eventually, the exercise will cover other areas within Nairobi Metropolis, such as parts of Kiambu and parts of Kajiado. And in response to the second limb of the question, this is not the first time that KRA will be collecting information from taxpayers around rental income tax. The taxman's move represents a change in approach on KRA's part, as it has previously collected similar information through Kenya Power and Lighting Company and other agencies.
Thank you, Alex. It is good to have an idea of the immediate areas that will be subject to KRA's data collection exercise. And thank you also for providing us with the clarity of KRA's change in approach in respect of collection of RIT taxpayers' information. So the next question to you, Alex, is, please, could you explain what rental income tax is, and does a tenant have any legal obligation to furnish KRA with information in the data collection exercise by KRA?
Yeah, thanks for the question, Joseph. Rental income tax is imposed under our Income Tax Act and is charged on gains or profits from any rights granted to any other person for the use or occupation of a property. So rental income tax is charged on both commercial and residential premises. A taxpayer can pay rental income tax either monthly or annually, subject to the conditions that are set out in the Income Tax Act. Section 59 of the Income Tax Act actually obligates a tenant to furnish the revenue authority with details on the landlord's name and address and a full and a true statement of the rent or any other consideration payable for the occupation.
Okay, thanks, Alex. So this brings us to the next question, which is addressed to you, Shem. So what data protection issues should KRA consider in the data collection exercise in light of the recent developments in the law on data protection?
Right. The personal data issue arising in this context is whether under the Kenyan Data Protection Act, there would be any restrictions against KRA in the collection of this information. The Data Protection Act essentially prohibits, as a general rule, any collection or further processing of personal data in the absence of legal grounds permitting such collection. So personal data here would essentially be all the details that have been mentioned as being required for purposes of enabling the collection of RIT. Essentially, KRA would need to look under the Data Protection Act and see whether there's any legal basis that has been provided for the collection of such information and for the further processing of it. And from a perusal of the law under Section 30 of the Data Protection Act, KRA would be permitted to collect such information where the collection is necessary for the performance of its tasks as a public authority, right? Or for the performance of any task that's part of its mandate and which is carried out in the public interest. And the collection of taxes is certainly in the public interest. So KRA would be able to rely on that ground. But there are certain considerations that it should be mindful of in doing so. Overall or in general, it should comply with all the requirements of the Data Protection Act, but more specifically, it would need to conduct a data protection impact assessment prior to collecting such personal data. And Data Protection Act requires a data protection impact assessment to be carried out in instances where a processing or data collection operation is likely to result in a high risk to the rights and freedoms of the data subject. The general regulations issued under the Data Protection Act offer further clarity that lends credence to the view that KRA should actually conduct a data protection impact assessment before embarking on this exercise. And as part of the data protection impact assessment, KRA would need to systematically describe all the envisaged collection processes and carry out an assessment of the same with a particular focus on the necessity and proportionality of the collection exercise to the purpose for which collection is being done, identify risks to the rights and freedoms of data subject, and set out the measures that it proposes to put in place in order to address the risks that arise in the context of the collection or the intended collection of personal data from or relating to landlord from their tenants. And all this needs to be reported upon, and consultation procedures are also set out under the law where KRA would be required to liaise closely with the data commissioner, particularly where the processing is found to be one that would result in a high risk to the rights and freedoms of data subjects. So in a nutshell, KRA needs to be very, very conscious of its obligations the moment it enters into this space and with respect particularly to the Data Protection Act.
Okay, thank you, Shem, for that insightful thought on the link between data collection exercise, the right to privacy, and the considerations under the Data Protection Act. The next question, which is addressed to Alex, is now, once KRA has the information it seeks through the data collection exercise, how then can the taxman enforce payment of rental income tax? And just to conclude, what can landlords do based on KRA's efforts to expand the rental income tax base?
So the taxman has several mechanisms to enforce collection and payment of rental income tax. KRA can actually raise assessments based on the information that they will collect and seek to recover the tax from the landlords. KRA could also issue agency notices, basically notices either to your tenants, to the tenants or to the banks, for these parties to actually pay any amount that is due from the landlord straight to the revenue authority. But more importantly is that the Finance Act 2022, which is fairly recent, introduced another mechanism by empowering the KRA to dispose of taxpayers' properties for tax liabilities. So the Finance Act 2022 actually came to effect on the July 1st, 2022 for this particular provision, and KRA can issue a notice to the land registrar to hold a taxpayer's property as security for unpaid rent or income tax. And then after holding the taxpayer's property, KRA can then go ahead and actually dispose of the property if the taxpayer fails to settle the tax liability within 2 months. So the risk of losing property because of unpaid rental income tax is now real. However, landlords should not wait for the revenue authority to come for them. Instead, they can undertake a self-assessment, pay the tax due, and seek a waiver of any penalties and interest. And a landlord doesn't need to pay all the accrued rental and income tax at once. They can actually negotiate with the revenue authority to pay the accrued taxes in installments. So it's a good time for landlords to actually engage with the KRA. But even as that is happening, I believe the KRA should also accommodate landlords and agree to structured payments, because we are just recovering from the harsh COVID times. And therefore, the landlords could only be getting this money from their houses to sustain their livelihoods. So these discussions for structured payments are actually welcome. But more so, the revenue authority should be careful so that whatever information they get, they actually raise reasonable and accurate assessments, so that we don't have to spend a lot of time with landlords, perhaps in courts, trying to collect the rental income tax, whereas where the assessment was fair, perhaps the landlord would have just gone ahead and paid the tax that was due. I think that's the way it should go for landlords, KRA, and even for the tenants who will be involved in this particular exercise.
Well, thank you, Alex and Shem, for finding time to engage in this discourse on demystifying KRA's public notice that was issued on 18th October 2022. Surely your thoughts and input have been very insightful. So, without a doubt, the taxman is keen to expand its tax base with respect to rental income tax. And well, there you have it, folks. In case of any further questions or queries that you may have regarding rental income tax, please feel free to contact CDH Kenya.
The views and information expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily present those of the firm. All content is provided for general purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. We make no representations, warranties, or guarantees, whether expressed or implied, that the content on our podcast is accurate, complete, up-to-date, or reflects the current law. We accept no responsibility for any loss or damage, whether direct or consequential, arising from reliance on the information which is presented here.